You're listening to Unique Leaders Podcast. I'm Megan DiMartino. Success is in the story. Each week, I'll be speaking with a unique leader, not only in their field, but in their lives. Join us for a glimpse of their passion and talents. There's always a surprise in their story. Be the first to hear. Hello, 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 and welcome to Unique Leaders Live. It's Friday, my favorite day of the week, to be with you and to introduce to you my amazing guest. I cannot wait for you to meet Lokesh. I have known Lokesh for many years, but never really one-on-one, so to speak. We've communicated through the industry. He is an amazing biochemist, and he'll explain all about that and in his story. But Unique Leaders is basically for you to hear their story. Because during the challenging year of 2020, so many people were just by themselves, and they needed encouragement. And that's how this Unique Leaders started, to share with you people's stories which are just like yours. And you can glean from them and glean from those stories, because they say success leaves clues. Clues are great, but I want the whole story for you. I want you to be able to see yourself in their stories. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you my dear friend, Lokesh.
Hello, everyone. This is Lokesh.
And hello, sir. Hello, hello. Thank you for joining me today.
No, thanks for calling me on your show. It's a pleasure to me.
Really, you know, we have connected because we've been in the same industry. I have a skincare brand, Novitas Spa Clinicals. You've helped me here and there with many different things, but you were working for a company, so it was difficult to have you do anything for me at that point. But I absolutely saw your brilliance and just cannot wait for you to share that brilliance with our guests. So let's begin the Lokesh story. Now, you were born in India, is that correct?
Yeah, so I was born and brought up in India, the city everyone knows in the world. I was born in the city of Agra, which is in northern part of India and known for the seventh wonder of the world, the Taj Mahal.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was born in that city. My father was engineer. And from that city, my education, my schooling started. So I have two brothers, two sisters, very small, unique family. And just to let you know how I got interested in the cosmetic and medicines and this industry. So it was very unique, and my always interest was toward the cosmetic and medicines. And when we were in a teenage, my sister and my mom used to bring a lot of cosmetics. I was always inclined toward those cosmetics, the face lotion, anti-aging cream, the color cosmetic. I used to see their ingredient, how this is made. And in fact, towards the medicine side, I was kind of maybe 13, 14 year old. On that time, I was start distributing the medicines to my servant at home. If they have pain, they have some body problem, they have some. So that was kind of a thing. It started in my itself from my childhood. And I start asking, how can I enter in this field if I'm kind of a more interested towards, making a career in this. Then one of my doctor uncle start telling me, hey, you need to, pursue the pharmaceutical side of the courses or biology. And in India, it happens in very, very young age. When the child is in a 10th grade, 9th grade, they start forming their mind, where they need to go, which field, what courses they need to pursue and what they need to do it. So that's what, at that age, 9th or 10th grade, I start forming my mind. Oh, I wanted to be either pharmacist or a doctor. I entered into the, biology classes. Then by the age of 17, 18, when I was graduated from high school, I was kind of made my mind firm. Oh, I wanted to either pharmacist or maybe a doctor. So then I start getting ready for the competitive exam, which is very common in India. If you want to go in engineering side or medical side, you have to appear a competitive. Then you want to be want to go in those colleges. So finally, I got into the pharmacy college. And I did my graduation in pharmaceutical chemistry and in 1996. And then by that time, I was ready to go into the industry. But something happened, I mean, and something happens in your life for certain reason. And that's what I start believing in. I became a pharmacist. I was working in a research and development of pharmaceutical industry, where I was working on injectables and the formulation development, new doses form, like that. Then
let me stop you for a minute. So you say injectables. Now you don't mean like Botox and those types of injectables. What type of injectables are you speaking
of? When we talk about injectables, it could be antibiotic injectables or any cosmetic injectables.
Okay.
So they are, of course, you develop the doses form based on that. So Botox is a similar kind of injectables formulations where we do the topical treatments, So but somehow something happens. I mean, I went to an interview for a job in R&D in a pharmaceutical and basically the FMCG goods company. FMCG means fast moving consumer goods company, very known in India, multinational company, Dabur. And they had offered me, why don't you work in our cosmetic division, where we are bringing every year a lot of new products for skincare, hair care, body care. And that company used to create a lot of I accepted that position. I said, okay. And I start working in a core R&D of 110 scientists, that the whole research foundation had 110 scientists, senior, junior, top level of management. And I start working as a principal research scientist in a cosmetic lab, where I start learning uniquely to create the formulation of skincare, hair care, body care, oral care. And we were using with all kind of a unique ingredient, which has some functionality for the skin. I developed the hair care formulation with the extract of amla and methi, where it was performing as an anti-dandruff functionality as well as conditioning. So, and skincare, we were using all natural ingredients, which are now coming after 20 years in getting popular, like turmeric, sandalwood, neem, and you name anything. We were playing with those extract, creating their material, raw material in the lab, performing with other division to create, to look at the functionality, to generate their clinical patterns, then using into the formulation.
I just want to share something with our guests that are watching. I really implore you to share this out, because today, what Lokesh is speaking about, this was in the late 90s, correct, Lokesh?
Yes.
Yes. So this is in the beginning of the result-oriented pharmaceutical medical-grade skincare, or then you would say also Ayurvedic to organic to natural, all of those words. And so what he is sharing is the real deal. You might pick up a book, don't take me to the cosmetic counter. Well, those people are basically marketers. This is the real deal. This is a person who is a formulator, who understands ingredients. So if you have any interest, and this is not just for women, but if you have any interest in beauty, in cosmetics, in biochemistry, in formulating, in engineering, share this out, because this is really a story. He's going to get into his further journey of how he got to the United States. But this is the essence of also what I also want to feature, because he's not going to say this, is that this was a young man brought up by, well-educated parents, but he had a wanderlust. He had an interest in creating. And you may have an interest in creating, right, Lokesh?
Right. So I was coming to the other part of the story, journey in the U.S.
I just wanted people to share this out, because I was remiss to say that in the beginning. But I wanted people to share this out, because this is a very powerful and important story. So go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, you are exactly right. And that's very important, too. Sometimes I'm telling a story and people miss out what I'm do, but what I'm trying to tell that do the things which are getting popular now in US,
exactly.
Naturality, the whole industry is talking about now the naturality, the clean ingredient, recycling, upcycling, organic. So we were playing those things in late 90s. So that's what happened. I worked there in that core research company for basically, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
In a core R&D company, name was Dower Research Foundation. Then I got a chance to come to the US. One of the contract manufacturer in US hired me. They brought me because when we talked about how to create a formulation, what are the necessary, factors in developing a high-end skincare formulation or high-end hair care formulation, then I got through a couple of interviews, then they liked and they brought me to the US. So that's what my journey started in US in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And North California company was based there. I was working in a R&D, and it is a journey because I had a lot of experience working in a medium management senior scientist level. But when I came to the US, I started working kind of a, you can say, junior chemist. But to me, that's the journey of every person where when you go down, you fall, you learn. Mm-hmm. And I learned the things technically, which I was, but when I came, I kind of started at that level. And I used to work with all kind of people who are coming to the industry very new. They know about the skincare. They don't know about the skincare. The people like you coming from the spa side. Oh, I want locate treatment products who could treat, the dark spot, age spots. And I was all into that. And I was very fond of her readings, what is coming new to the market, mm-hmm. what the new technology ingredients are coming. So you will. I want to share one more story with you.
Please.
In 90s, when I was doing my master's in pharmaceutical chemistry,
mm-hmm.
my dissertation work, my thesis work was on the peptides.
Ah.
In late 90s, and you will not believe my guide told me, Lokesh, I'm telling you, you pursue this research project on the peptides, and peptide would be the future of the industry in pharma as well as in a cosmetic.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right? So on that time, I did synthesize the peptide in the lab, mm-hmm. then use in a drug formulation to increase the potency of that, the functionality of the sleepiness or the pain relieving action. And I did use those peptides there, tripeptide, dipeptide, pentapeptide. I synthesized myself in the lab and used in a formulation.
Wow.
And you will not believe, when I came to US, the first peptide I used in a skincare formulation was Metrixil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Metrixil was, of course, developed by the company Sederma, but that was the first peptide became popular in a high-end skincare formulation.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a very, kind of a deep interest for the ingredients as well as the formulation. Journey started in 2001. I start connecting with the people, all kind of, brand side, high-end skincare, niche market skincare, natural side of the skincare, and organic, certified organic. And I used to be only one, formulator in the lab. I used mm-hmm. to work with all multiple kind of things. Apart from, I used to wear the multiple hats, you can say that. I used to be R&D person, I used to be customer service, I used to do, quality control as well, a lot of things. But I'm so happy doing those time, that kind of a work, because that gave me an immense experience of all the things.
To start your own business. Yeah.
You're right. Mm-hmm. So I used to go into the production, manufacturing, helping the compounders how to solve the problem. If a batch has gone bad, how to fix that batch to corrective actions. And since I know the up and down of the formulation, if this fails in the manufacturing, then how to make it correct. So those kind of things I learned a lot being there. And I'm always thankful of that time because I learned a lot of things in the US industry.
Yes.
So
let me ask you a question. Because you're speaking about peptides, and there are many peptides are an amino acid, the building block of our DNA structure.
Exactly.
So with that said, though, and you're saying that back in the 90s, you were working in R&D in India with a myriad of peptides, you know, types of peptides. But one of the things I'd like you to touch on with our guests is that, and this is something that I feel very strongly about personally, because like you know, I've been formulating products, not me personally, but the labs I've worked with since 1992. I was one of the original glycolic acid alpha hydroxy lines out in the United States sold to salons and spas called Glycolique. And then I re-engineered Glycolique in 97 and expanded the line a bit and launched Novitas Spa Clinicals. So one of the things I've been educating, though, since the early 90s is that no two products are created the same. And it's based on the quality of ingredients, science and research, and how the product is actually put together, the recipe, the formula. So just share a little bit about that, because what is, I feel, people are so they misunderstand that. They just feel like you and I have talked about before, you know, if something smells good, they like it. Well, that's crazy, because fragrance is one of the most sensitizing ingredients there is. So it should be fragrance free. But separate from that, talk a little bit about the fact that it really is about the quality of ingredients, the science, and how it's put together.
So this industry has become so much varied in terms of what kind of product people wanted to sell to the customer. So I'm a formulator, and I always give an example when someone comes to me to formulate a product with performing ingredients, we say cosmetic performing ingredient or active ingredient. I always ask two things to my client. Do you really want to create a good product with the functionality, or you just want to make a product and sell to the market? So majority of them, of course, say, no, we want really performing formulation. And I always say that I'm a formulator. I can create a product which you want. But like, for example, do you want to create a car like a Honda Accord, or you want to create a car like Porsche or Audi? So different. You can see now the difference. So that's what the industry. So some people really like you want to come in and you say, no, I want performing whatever I'm giving to my client. I really want to have that performance, what I'm claiming with that. So for example, that time in late 90s, glycolic acid, or we call it alpha hydroxy acids, are very popular, like glycolic acid by itself, lactic acid, and other acids which fall in the category of alpha hydroxy acid. Then we have beta hydroxy acid like salicylic acid, which is a little stronger exfoliating agent. So the time, depending on how and what kind of skin we are using, this is very important to start calculating the concentration of glycolic acid, how much you want in there. It should not hurt the skin. So depending on the formulation, you know, depending on from 2% to the 20%, and the peels of these formulation could be generated. So that's a glycolic acid. But the drawback was those formulation was they were irritating to the skin to the some people, and they were not able to use. But over the year, in these many years have come now, we have so many other formulation which are ingredient which are derived from the natural sources. They give the performance like glycolic acid or lactic acid, but they do not irritate the skin.
The same difference with retinol, meaning that which is a derivative of vitamin A. And so Retin A, which is a drug, was a very irritating to the skin, dried the skin, thinned the skin. But like you just said, there's derivatives of it that have create the same result, but without the negative side effect.
Negative side effect. So this is what's happening. This research is happening in the last so many years. New drugs are coming. Since our so we were talking about how the formulation. So formulation is a very art. Formulation is art. I can create a formula which is you can sell at $1, and I can create a formula you can sell for $100. And the ingredient selection of ingredient is very important in a formulation. What we want to achieve, we can put together for the ingredient, but it is becomes important for the formulator to make it a stable product. Just another aspect is stable. Stable means I am making a formula which is commercializable, which goes to the market without any problem. Mm-hmm. There is a shelf life of that formula. It goes for 6 months to 1 year or 2 years and without any issue. Like, for example, vitamin C. In late 90s, ascorbic acid was highly recommended for skincare as a vitamin C ingredient.
Right.
Ascorbic acid only on that time. And people were making ascorbic acid-based formula, cream, lotions, peels, or serums using 10% vitamins, ascorbic acid, 15%, 20%. But what was happening? Ascorbic acid has a very low level of stability. Right. When it goes, it turns brown very quickly. The moment you add into the water, it will start browning. And browning means it is oxidizing. So over the maybe a month time or 2 month time, the activity of ascorbic acid is kind of killed in the formulation. Mm-hmm. So now how to make the stable product with ascorbic acid? So we had the avenues to make a stable product with ascorbic acid as well. But now with the time, ascorbic acid turned into the derivatives, stable derivative, mm-hmm. like magnesium ascorbyl phosphate, sodium ascorbyl phosphate. Over the period of time now, we have very high-end ethyl ascorbate or ether ascorbic acid. They are so much stable, you make them, they perform the same way the ascorbic acid is performing, and you have the stability for a year or 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, but they are expensive, of course. They are very high-end ingredients. That's what I say when the client comes to me, what do you want? Do you want a Honda Accord or you want a Audi? So I can create similar way. I can create a two kind of formulation. You want the low price or you want the high price. What the consult, I'm a consultant. So this journey started. I worked for a long time in with that company where I learned. Then I moved to the next level. I start working with a branded company where my brand were the natural, products like Avalon Organics and Jason Natural. And I worked there for 5 years in their R&D. I headed their R&D and kind of a, there is always a innovation and renovation. What is being created, it is always need a improvement. Any technology you take it, any technology, you take the information technology, computer, or any technology you take, it will need a renovation after some time.
Yes.
You know, so that's what in the cosmetic industry, same way. So you make a product, 20 years ago, now there are so many things has come which are far better. They are new technology. They have better benefits, for the skin or hair or for the body. So it needs. So the formulation which are being developed 15 years ago, now they need a renovation. How we can renovate that? So that's the kind of an art, the whole art of formulation development. A lot of people just mix the things, give it to the client and move on. Then they face the problem. Oh, my product is getting brown. It is not stable. I sent from New Jersey to the California. They are separating now. So these all problem, a formulator has a genuine duty to fix these issues and make a good product for their client. So this is the whole, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I use the analogy of, and you're talking about ascorbic acid, and I'm talking, when I your Honda versus the Audi, but I will say, you can go to Sally's and buy a vitamin C product and it's $12 for an ounce. And then you can go to a spa and it's $75 an ounce, so 1 ounce jar. So what is the difference? If the packaging and the marketing says vitamin C, what's the difference? And it is back to, I love what you said about the formula. It's an art. I love that because it's like, your mother's famous, holiday recipe. That was an art. And it's very difficult to replicate that. And so it is really that you, and I think that is the key to your story. Like when you were a young guy looking at your mother's products and your sister's products, it was in you to create that. But it was an art. And you just continued on to learn and then put that together and then be able to use your art. That's just, I love that.
Yeah. And as of today also, I mean, so I started working with the brand side next 5-6 years, then I moved to the contract manufacturing again. So I love both side of working, brand mm-hmm. side as well as contract manufacturing. Of course, contract manufacturing, R&Ds are very fast-paced. They work and which probably I like. I wanted to keep doing something, you know, something. Mm-hmm. So this new raw material has come. This natural gum has come. Can we create the good serum with this natural gum without using a synthetic gum? Can we use this upcycled material, which is coming from the wood or cellulose? Can we try? So this is it. It is in me. As of today, also being running the consulting company, I spend every day a few hours on the bench to create something new. And that's what my passion is. Yeah, my passion is. And I wanted to keep following my passion for the whole life till I can work and I can, of course, provide the good product and very mm-hmm. nice and clean product to my client as well as to the industry. We have to look at this scenario now. The world has changed so much now.
Yes.
You see, once upon a time, the things were just going. People were using synthetic things. They were not using the paper thing. They were using the plastic. Now you see the whole world is juggling with the problem of the plastic and non-decomposable things, which are not decomposed. And they are just kind of floating in the beaches or ocean or rivers and in jungles. You know, people are cutting the jungles. I mean, without knowing that what the damage they are causing to the whole earth or universe. So those things, we need to bring it back.
Yes.
To the industry, mm-hmm. of course, in our cosmetic industry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see earlier, people were using the plastic beads for the scrub. Now the things changed. Now nowadays the upcycling materials are coming into the exfoliation. Means the tree which has already fallen, they are now kind of a waste. We take it, the supplier or the manufacturer of the new raw material, they take it out the important material from that tree, then make the product out of that, which is now getting popular. And this process is called upcycled.
Ah.
So there is a recycling process. Recycling means the tin, jar, can, plastic, we throw into the recycling bin. They melt it, they create the new again. But this is the problem with the recycling. Of course, this is good. We are using and we are not bringing the new material to the making the new product, which are mm-hmm. non-decomposable, you can say that.
Right.
But again, this will, the whole life will go like this. But upcycling is a new practice where we are using the material, mm-hmm. which is not usable. We are bringing to the life to the usable material. Now this usable material will be decomposed into the nature.
Wow.
So no damage to the nature. Yeah.
Wow.
So things have changed so much. Things are changing so much, and I really appreciate the whole world is coming, our industry is coming, and contributing in that a lot in a way. Like everyone uses the cosmetic in mm-hmm. daily. If you start your day, you are using the shampoo, you are applying the cream, mm-hmm. and things are going with the water into the drain. And we need to make sure they are not harmful for the aquatic life.
Yes.
They are not harmful for the other people. They're just kind of going safely into the drainage. That's what the formulator has a great responsibility to create a real clean and natural formulation when the client comes and asks us to do that.
Amen.
And that's what my duty, and I do that.
Amen. And, you know, as you're talking, you're saying so much about the evolution of ingredients, utilizing them in skincare, skincare obviously changing. I've re-engineered my line 3 times since the beginning. But, you know, back in the day, I remember like in the early 90s, I forget what even the word was, but the exfoliating beads were plastic. And then all of a sudden, probably late 90s, they were banned. And so like in one of my cleansers, there's jojoba beads because they're, squishy, soft and biodegradable.
Right.
So let's share with our guest a little bit, because I really do find that this is also confusing for people and because there's so much misinformation is about the term clean, because I call my line a clean line. So, and you may use that term earlier. So explain that versus organic, because those two are very misunderstood.
Yeah, so organic, so Clean and organic, they are the two different terminology. Organic material, which are being produced without using any chemical in them. So they are kind of like, let's say, if we are creating a plant extract and we say this is organic, what does that mean? Yeah. That means is, let's say, like simple example of green tea extract, organic, certified organic.
Okay,
what is that? So it means the green tea plant, which is grown in an area where no pesticide or no fertilizers or no chemical have been used throughout from seeding to its plant, certified organic. We take it out, we make the extract, we use the extract, making them either into under the steam distillation or without any solvents like glycol. We don't use that. Right. We just take the extract, steam distill it, and take the active component of the green tea and put into the water with the maybe with the safe preservative or maybe with the certified organic glycerin. So certified organic glycerin is also produced from the plants which are organically grown, and we extract the glycerin out of that.
So the key of what you just said, just for our guests, is that there has to be a long process, meaning i.e. that the plant was not exposed to any pesticides. And and so it wasn't, I don't want to use the word tainted, but it was truly that very, very methodical process.
Right.
So it doesn't make it, but so I'm going to ask you a question before you go into clean. Would you say that most that word organic is used, and certainly 5-10 years ago it was used incorrectly, that unless it has the USDA seal, it really is not organic? Would you agree?
Totally agree with you.
Okay.
So the time the terminology started, the certified organic, people were not clear. There were not clear definitions. There were not clear guidelines from US FDA. Then slowly in these many years, now there are clear-cut guidelines from the US FDA, Agriculture Department of United States of America. So they have given the guidelines. These are the approved thing to be used for organic grown product. These are the items not to be used. So there is a strict list of regulation and guideline for the grower. You will follow that. And now in last, I can say maybe 10 years, the USDA department has been so much actively involved with the manufacturer as well as the manufacturer of the finished product. If I claim today my product is certified organic and I'm producing, US FDA or USDA, you know, they can come at any time and they can see what's your process, where you are purchasing from, how the vendor of supplier of the raw material is certified or not, everything they now check. So it has been improved so much. So nowadays we can expect if someone is put the seal of USDA, then we can say that, yes, this is a truly a natural product, truly a clean, I mean, certified organic.
Right.
Now we come to the clean side.
Right.
Clean means there are a lot of raw materials which we use in the formulation and create the final product like cream, lotion, hair care product. Clean means the raw material being produced from the plant, but not necessarily the plant is grown as organically. Okay. It is coming from the plant, or we use sometimes the material which are not organic, but they are not chemical, like propendiol. Propendiol is a natural kind of a humectant material, which replaces the pentylene glycol or butylene glycol or propylene glycol, these synthetic material, which are coming from the petroleum industry. So we have petroleum industry, everyone knows that. So petroleum industry, after creating the petrol, it creates a lot of byproduct. Those byproduct kind of a waste, but industry use them to create the material which can be used in some other industry, like silicones. Silicones are the product from the byproduct of petroleum industry. Similarly, like petrolatum jelly, there are a lot of other material like that which come from a byproduct from the petroleum industry. So they are kind of called as a synthetic raw material. But the material which are coming from the industry, maybe they are byproduct, but they are clean. They are naturally derived. So exactly. For naturally derived material where no synthetic or no pesticide or no harmful chemical being used throughout their processing, they are called as a clean ingredient. They may not be organic, they may not be completely natural, but they are the clean ingredient. They have the least harmful effect on the skin. Like, for example, the environmental working group. EWG is working very good with the brands, with the cosmetic manufacturer, and they start giving their rating to or EWG seal on the product which are certified by them. Environmental Working Group, EWG. You might have seen the round logo of the green.
Yes.
So they make sure the material used in a particular skincare product is made with the ingredient which are have the rating of less harmful. They are not highly harmful. They are close to the zero or one, their rating of the harmness. So that's another industry is working very great towards this side to make it the industry more cleaner and more sustainable or more, you know, towards. So we are not harming the nature, basically.
And, you know, because I've been in this industry for so long, I've seen this evolution. And it's very exciting to see how the truth,
truth
that comes out to my mind, you know, because back in the Wild West, so to speak, I mean, people would make these claims and make these statements and call it this and call it that. And I have from the very beginning been committed to truth. You know,
that is true.
You know, I just want products that are as pure and clean as possible before that word was even used, but that created results.
Yeah.
And that to me was the most important thing that these products had to do. Now, you know, another term that's used or not used, but meaning when it's called a clean line, lauryl sulfate, which is soap. And fragrance, of course, we spoke about earlier, you know, fragrance free, animal testing of byproducts. I think people understand that very, you know, very clearly today. But parabens, which are preservatives. Right. So talk a little bit about lauryl sulfate and parabens and why do they have a bad rap? And what do you think about that?
Yeah, so of course, the lauryl sulfate are the category of surfactants, which is being used in the cleansers and hair care products.
Yes.
And so basically the surfactant, if you see sodium lauryl sulfate, ammonium lauryl sulfate, sodium lauryl sulfate. So some of these surfactants are ethoxylated. Ethoxylated means when we create the surfactant, there is a process of ethoxylation to combine the lauric acid and the sodium moiety together to create a surfactant. So ethoxylation, we use the ethylene oxide gas to combine those. So that's what the surfactant is created. But the problem with that ethoxylation is that there is a kind of a chemical material, 1,4-dioxane, which is released by these ethoxylated surfactants. And that's a carcinogenic.
I see.
So that has proven that that material is carcinogenic. Over the period of time, the more amount of ethoxylated surfactant in the formula, the more chances of releasing 1,4-dioxane into the finished product, which we use as a, and that can be a carcinogenic. So because of that reason, the ethoxylation process for emulsifier, for surfactant, for any other ingredient which are ethoxylated are not considered good for skincare. Because it can be, it can cause the cancer to the human being. It can be their carcinogenic to the human being. So that's basically,
So it's not, it's, you know, I really didn't understand the full essence because we in our, I think I reformulated our cleanser with that called Meltaway in 2013. And so replaced the lauryl sulfate with, you know,
another safe and clean, derived surfactant.
Exactly,
And as I said, I mean, in the last so many years, so many new things has come. So many clean ingredients I'm covered. Their performance is at par with the synthetic ingredient. Mm-hmm. Now, so when I started my consulting company in 2018, my dream and my focus is on to create the formula, of course, what client wants. I have worked with a formulation development on conventional ingredient. I have worked with an organic, certified natural, and all spectrum of this. So my focus is, and I'm seeing more and more when the client comes, they always ask about, can we create this kind of a product, but not using the synthetic or chemical ingredient, making with the clean ingredient? Answer as of today is yes. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Mm-hmm. We can generate. Earlier, I can say maybe 7-8 years ago, there were not too many preservatives. Preservation is very important in any kind of a development, whether it's a pharmaceutical or cosmetic, very important aspect of development. So we never had very good preservative. We used to have only kind of a very strong preservative like parabens, 5-7 parabens, or benzene or phenolic group based preservative. They were very strong. They also had, you know, a lot of reports says they are carcinogenic at certain higher level. So then cosmetic industry started going away from those preservatives. Mm-hmm. As of today, also a lot of people uses them, and they don't care about whether these are, you know, not a good preservative. But I don't want to go in that debate because a lot of people use. But when someone comes to me and asks me, can you create a skincare product, very strong, stable, microbiologically stable, and we should not have any problem. Mm-hmm. I say answer is yes. I can make a formulation with a clean preservative. They are not synthetic. If they are not coming from natural sources, but they are prepared in the lab, but they are made with a safe ingredient and clean ingredients. Yeah. So there are now multiple. Yeah.
Yes.
We are using a lot of food grade preservative in cosmetic. Very strong. Mm-hmm. Strong means strong for keeping product stable.
Stable, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the first times I utilized your brilliance. One of my masks was having problems, and you, like in a New York minute, were able to diagnose that. But at the same time that we re-engineered in 13, the line is paraben free. But one of the things, though, I find, Lokesh, because I'm an ingredient junkie like you, I mean, I'm always looking at other lines in their, you know, ingredient deck, as we call it. And it's interesting to me, without naming names, how many large companies have not reformulated from that position. They don't care. I mean, it sells and the people love it and that's that. But they would and could. I mean, they should do it. But they haven't. So very interesting to me how many still have parabens. Yeah.
So you will be surprised to know, I mean, I started my consulting in 2018. Since then, I'm formulating for brands, niche market brands, some medium-sized companies brand. And majority of them are coming back and saying, Lokesh, we want to create a clean product.
Yeah.
If you now, and this is because of the awareness of all these ingredient. I'm collaborating with one of my friend. Her company name is Dandy Days. If you look at the LinkedIn, and she's been from the industry. She has worked with the raw material supplier, and now she's bringing on board the people who have the interest and wanted to tell the cosmetic world the clean and performing product can be created. Mm-hmm. It is not like I cannot create without silicone. No, answer is no. We can create. So I'm collaborating with her. I'm a partner to her collaboration. So the company name is Dandy Days. She has kind of a sustainability report recently she compiled for the cosmetic industry. She has a lot of knowledge of the ingredient. She directs the client who does not know, who can formulate with the clean ingredient. So she directs to us. So that's what the industry is working towards.
That's great.
I'm working with those partners to, you know, make more awareness from the formulation side. She's from the raw material side. She always recommend that. Then we all together are trying our effort to make the industry clean, safe, and healthy for everybody, you know.
That's wonderful. That's well, that, and it should be that way. It's just about knowledge and awareness, like everything, like you said about the environment and the like, that it is about raising consciousness and awareness. And the more people that understand, then they're going to demand products that truly are manufactured or developed and then manufactured from that position.
And if you see, sorry to interrupt you, but if you see all these big retailers like Sephora, Clear Beauty, if you see, you walk in their stores, majority of high-end cosmetics are coming with the seal, clean at Sephora, this at this, this at this. So people are, what I see as today market, people are getting awareness from the channels like me, from my friend, like they are making aware people, look, things are there, we can exploit into the product and we can make the product clean.
Yeah, no, it's so true. The awareness is absolutely there. Right. So, you know, you mentioned your family, your parents and your sisters. Do they still live in India or are they in the United States or where are they?
Yeah, so no, I'm the only one in United States.
Okay.
My younger sister is living in Dubai. My brother and my elder sister living in India. And very well. Yeah, my mom is there. Yeah, the sad news, I lost my father last year. He was 79 years old. Mm-hmm. And I can say today is his first anniversary.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so I'm giving interview today morning. I talked to my mom and she's fine. But my dad lived his life very clean. And he was engineer. He retired. Then his philosophy was he kept working with the companies back in India. He was engineer. So he was always an active person. Mm-hmm. Even till last year, I mean, before this lockdown happened across the globe, before that he was working, going to the work office. But he had surgery. Because of that, he could not sustain for a long time. So he was 79 year old. So that's today is the day I'm interviewing. But that's little in from my inside is little sad as well.
I had no idea. Wow. And I normally don't ask about family, but, you know, because it is your story. And but I do. It was something that was in my spirit about your family, you know, and, you know, because that was the creative piece to you, you know, and your dad being an engineer. But also because you said the other thing that came to my mind is because you said that every day you go to the lab, you said to the bench, it's what you use the term, and that you create something. So every day you're creating something. Every day. And you're going to do that, you said, until the day you go home to wherever. And so and to so like you, that's what made me think of your father, you know, and creating and the creativity that was in you to continue to go on and create. So that's to your dad and your mom and your family, my condolences. And so now in the United States, you've been here for what, 25 years?
Almost, 22 years,
Yeah, 22 years. And so do you see, because I'm sure you're, you know, because you're an international businessman, do you see the world coming together from the same philosophy? I'm talking about European companies with skincare. Where do you see that?
Yeah. In fact, I have some clients, I have clients across the globe, and they are really... as I said, now the people are getting more aware what's happening in the industry. What is the unique selling point for the products? People are getting aware. No one, if you tell someone, hey, this product is not good, it may cause problem, skin, other problem to you. I mean, it may cause dryness, it may cause itchiness, or it may be in long term, if you are using for a long time, it may cause this. People understand, consumer understand. So now, so this is happening across the globe. Of course, Europe is a little far ahead from us, and they try to create more clean environment as well as the clean product. And their industry, of course, is a little more stricter than the US. And I would say we have to have more strict action in US for the manufacturers, for the manufacturer of the raw material, how things are happening. So... I would say it's happening across the globe. People are trying to make a high-end skincare, but the safe and clean. And people, the consumer, when they are coming to know what is good for me, what is not good for, you know, them, yeah. they are also making a selection what product they are going to use, going to put on their skin. It is happening across the globe, I can say that, yeah.
Because, you know, with the pandemic, it affected the entire world,
right?
And is affecting the entire world. And I mean, for instance, you and I are doing this podcast. I am going to be on a podcast with a woman who is in Slovenia.
Oh,
I mean, so the world is coming together on so many levels. And there's an app called Clubhouse. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there are Clubhouse rooms that, I mean, I listen to people, they're in England, they're in India, they're all over the world. And right. it is amazing. So it's just a phenomenon that is, that's what made me think, I know, like you shared, and you said it earlier too, that Europe is so ahead of us. And as a matter of fact, when you go to Europe, you know, the drugstore is like, the whole drugstore is like a pharmacy.
Pharmacy, yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
It's much more serious on everything.
Right.
Yeah,
right. So that is true. Right, it's true, yeah.
Well, I'm so blessed to have you with me today, and I am so joyful for you because, as I said, I've known you for many years, probably mid-2000s is when I met you.
Right? Yeah,
that is somewhere true. In there. That's and you know, you are such a genius and a beautiful person, and I'm so so joyful. You're welcome, but I mean it. And you just have so much to bring to the world, and I'm so thankful that you now have your own business and you're flourishing. So that's
Thank you very much, and thanks for calling me, Megan.
No, I haven't finished. One last thing. I ask all my guests the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there is a book called 3 Feet from Gold. And this premise, Lokesh, is really the essence of Unique Leaders Live. Because the book, it's basically a fiction. But it was loosely written from an autobiography of Greg Reed. And it's a book written together with Sharon Lecter, who is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the co-author.
Okay. All right.
The East Coast in the United States during the gold rush. And he had stars in his eyes and he went west to claim his, you know, gold vein, his gold. And he bought a piece of land and he started chipping away at it. And he got very, very discouraged. And then he finally gave up. And he sold it to someone in the local town. And in 3 feet, he struck gold.
Oh.
So that's why it's called 3 Feet from Gold.
3 Feet gold, okay.
So Sharon Lecter has what she calls the success formula. And it is your passion plus talent times association, association plus action plus faith equal success.
Success. That's
okay. So what would you say your passion and your talent is?
Yeah, my passion is, as I said, I mean, it's a passion from my childhood to create, of course, one of the best formulation for skincare industry. Some of my clients asked me a question, Lokesh, what is the best product you have created so far? My answer is, it is yet to come.
Amen. Amen. That's why you're at the bench every day.
Every day.
Away.
Yeah. And I always feel, I mean, you create something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
So for any researcher, any product coming may not be the last product. It may be product, but it may not be the last product, the best product for them. Mm-hmm. It is always there because efforts, when you keep making effort, you always get something. This is your journey. When you start your journey, of course, there is a destination, but there is beyond something from the destination.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what my passion is, to, you know, keep creating the good product, creating the product which is good for the environment, good mm-hmm. for the nature. And we, with our collaborative partner, we wanted to really work in that direction and keep doing the things. And that's what my passion is.
And your talent?
My talent, of course, my passion, my coming out from my talent.
It's absolutely together.
Yes, it's together. Yeah. So it is coming out of my, so from my childhood, when I'm curious for something and I'm mm-hmm. always looking from that perspective yeah. and I try to generate something. Then it becomes a kind of a talent, you know, from your age. Then yes. that gives you your passion to continually working towards that goal, you know.
Yes,
so that's all. So.
Yeah. Well, Lokesh, again, thank you for joining me today. And I know that this is going to bless so many people around the world with hope and infinite possibilities, because that's what you just said, meaning yeah. that you've wanted to create something that best that could be, and you strive every day. So if you would wait in the green room for a minute, I'll be back to you. But I just want to say goodbye to our friends.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow. What a blessing that was to visit with Lokesh for this hour, sharing about his goals, his dreams, his aspirations from a young man in India, creating looking and seeing and thinking and then creating and then continuing on. What a journey. But I'm sure you can see in that story that it is about starting and never stopping and holding on to his dreams and his goals and aspirations. And he's not going to stop. And so I just loved listening to him. And of course, we talked shop a bit, but I wanted to highlight things that I know that you are interested in, because I'm asked those questions all the time about products and how they're formulated and different differentials of things. So I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. So please do share this out and do go to our YouTube page, Megan DiMartino, Hope and Possibilities is one YouTube page, but then Unique Leaders, which is this show right here. So you can go to the Megan DiMartino page and you'll find both. Subscribe to it, because it does help other people to find these amazing stories. I mentioned Sharon Lecter, Greg Reed. There's other amazing people on it with their such, you know, rich and powerful stories that I know you can just glean from and really be encouraged by. So go to the YouTube page, and this will be on all the podcasting platforms by Tuesday. And this will also be replayed tomorrow. So you'll be able to share it again. If you miss it today, it'll be on Facebook on Saturday, but it is on YouTube. So do go and enjoy and go again and again, because there's so many points from Lokesh's story about not only his personal journey, but information about skincare, how they're put together, and what is important for you. Thank you for joining me today on Unique Leaders Live, and we'll see you next Friday for another amazing story. Be blessed. Thank you for listening to the Unique Leaders Podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, please connect with me at megandimartino.com. I have a free gift for you, my book, Hope and Possibilities, Just Over the Horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I would truly appreciate it. Be blessed.